Here am I, Lord, send me. Let me see my mission filled all around each day. Fill my heart with Jesus' love. Use me, Lord, I pray. Here am I, Lord, send me. Here am I, Lord, send me. I will serve you faithfully. Here am I, Lord, send me.
Amen. Let that be our prayer this morning. God will be pleased to use us, to send us exactly where He'd want us to serve Him. Please be turned this morning to John chapter 4. The Gospel of John in chapter 4. We begin our missions conference technically Wednesday, but trying to launch our conference in spirit and heart, even today, getting our thinking, our spirits in tune with what God wants us to be doing for the cause of Christ and world missions, home and world missions, for the coming year. If you found your place there in John chapter 4, please stand with me. We'll read in reverence to the Word of God, beginning in verse 31. Where it says, in the meanwhile, this in the meanwhile is referring to as that the Lord Jesus Christ dealt with that woman at the well, Sychar, that as she left, goes on and says, in the meanwhile, while his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. And the theme of our conference this week is found in verse 35. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. He that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit into life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored and ye are entered into their labors. Father, we bow before you and we are grateful for each and every one present with us today, but we're most of all grateful for your presence. Father, we've gathered together in your name for your glory, for your honor. It's our purpose, our goal to exalt the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I'm asking you, Father, please take absolute, complete control of this time. We'd ask that what is preached would be ordered and directed of you, that your Spirit would be in absolute, complete control. And Father, I'm praying that as we've gathered here, that it may well be there's some in our midst that are not saved, that do not know Christ as their Savior. And I'm asking you, Lord, please, please, deal with their hearts. Might they see your Son and all that He has done for them. Might they see that indeed He's loved them and gave Himself for them. Lord, we'll be clear to give you all the glory and all the praise for what you would do. We love you. And of course, Father, we love you because you first loved us. In Jesus' name. And for Jesus' glory, we pray. Amen and amen. Of course, we may be seated. As we said, these verses are essentially a parenthesis in that record of the Lord Jesus Christ dealing, as we said, with that woman that we commonly call the woman at the well, the woman that Jesus met there at the well of Jacob outside the city of Sychar. The woman that Jesus met at that well has now returned into the city. But she returns with the need of her thirsty soul satisfied by the Lord Jesus Christ. How do you know? Well, we can tell because of her abandoned water pot. She realized that what she went there for had been fulfilled by Him that would satisfy her with the water of life. Well, she returned to the city and she'd gone to tell others what Jesus had done for her. Her message is simple. We find it there in verse 29, where she said to them, to the folks there in Sychar, "Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" She's saying essentially, this man knew all about me. He knew my real need. He satisfied the need of my hungering and thirsting soul. He gave me exactly what I needed. Is not this the Christ? Is not this the one that we've been watching for? Is not this the one that God had promised to send to us? Beloved, have you ever tried to witness to someone when the Holy Spirit wasn't on the scene dealing with them? When He wasn't there leading and directing in what was going on. And you know what it's like. It's like trying to push that proverbial rope. It just isn't going anywhere. And you literally have more to do than you can do when God's not on the scene and preparing the heart. Well, here at Jacob's well, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, brings this lady to an understanding of the true need of her soul. He brings her to a knowledge of Himself. We see her saved, beloved, and given eternal life. Now, in verse 31, where we just read, in the meanwhile, the Lord Jesus finds Himself alone with His disciples. Of course, those who were His followers. And He takes advantage of the opportunity then to do a little bit of discipling. He wants to disciple them. And He wants to teach them some very important truths concerning His harvest. Concerning His harvest. And we see here, first of all, the satisfaction of harvest. And we read those verses 31 down through 34, I just sense a great satisfaction in the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we read those words again. He says, in the meanwhile, His disciples prayed Him, saying, Master, eat. But He said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Therefore, said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him ought to eat? Jesus saith unto him, my meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work. Again, we see the disciples, they come back to their master, to the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're concerned about Him. And they've gone off to the city themselves to acquire some food, some things to satisfy their physical needs. And as they come back and the Lord Jesus Christ is pleased, He's excited, if you will, that this woman has just been saved. And the last thing on His mind is physical food. Last thing He's thinking about was that need of His physical stomach. And so the disciples had this earthly focus. They were praying Him, and the idea is they were beseeching Him. They were urging Him to eat. And they had that natural concern for Him. They knew that He had traveled a long way since morning. And as he had been, as they had left him there to rest by the well and gone into the city for food, and now they're back and unaware of the events that had taken place. There were greater lessons than food for the stomach that the Lord Jesus Christ had for them, and I believe would have for us if God had given us ears to hear it this morning. The problem is that the disciples were wearing some earthly blinders. They couldn't really see all that was going on. They were only seeing with their physical senses. Beloved, I don't know about you, but that's often my problem. My soul, my spirit is often impacted by the physical and the fleshly, by the temporal things of this world. We see here that there's something far more grand, far more wonderful for us to get involved in. We see the Lord's eternal focus in contrast to the disciples' earthly focus. Just what was it that caused the Lord to lose His appetite? Now, I'll be honest with you. There's not a whole lot of things in this world that cause me to lose my appetite. There's a lady sitting on down here that could testify to that for you. What was it that He was focused on? Well, He just dealt with one woman and won her to Himself. I don't know how else to put it. He won her to Himself. He revealed Himself to her. And indeed, she went away filled with the Lord Jesus Christ. Her life was changed. And that changed life, her changed life, was going to change other folks' life. By her testimony, she was going to be used to bring many, many more souls to eternal life. Read with me in verses 39 of John 4. It says, "And many of the Samaritans," you hear that? "Many of the Samaritans of that city believed on Him for the saying of the woman, which testified, 'He told me all that ever I did.' So when the Samaritans were come unto Him, they besought Him that He would tarry with them, and He abode there 2 days. And listen to this, and many more believed because of His own words." My, the work that was set in action here by the Lord Jesus Christ keeping that divine appointment that day with this woman of Sychar. And we'll talk a little bit more about her in a little bit. But through that divine appointment, many, many more were brought to the Lord Jesus Christ, were saved and given eternal life. This, beloved, is what filled and satisfied His soul. Huh? It's what satisfied the Lord Jesus Christ. This was food for His soul that just totally surpassed anything that physical food could have done. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ, as we read here, was focused on doing His Father's will. The Lord Jesus Christ was committed to accomplish and complete His Father's will. And doing His Father's will satisfied Him. Isn't that good? It satisfied Him when he knew He was doing exactly what His Father would have Him do. Doing His Father's will gave Him gratification that no physical food could ever do. I'll be honest with you. I'll be perfectly honest with you. You know, there's few things that give me more satisfaction than a piece of homemade apple pie. About the only thing that gives me more satisfaction than a piece of apple pie is a second piece. I've said that enough over the years that I usually find a lady or two that's willing to make me apple pies. So I drop that once in a while, Brother Joe, just to see what happens. Jesus was focused on finishing, completing His Father's work. Dear ones, just what is that work that the Lord Jesus is talking about? He's talking about His work of bringing salvation to man. There's a deliverance of sin. The work of the cross, beloved. His work of shedding His own blood to pay the price of my sin. To pay the price of your sin. He took great satisfaction in accomplishing and completing His Father's work. That was more important to Him than even the much needed food for His body. He understood all these things. He was our Creator. He created us with those natural needs of food and water and such. But beloved, there's things that ought to satisfy us even more than those natural things. There's nothing that excites me more than talking to somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ. I love telling folks about what Jesus did for me. It's obvious that this lady went back to town excited about what had happened to her. Her life had been changed. And it was changed so dramatically that even the city itself took note of it and had to go check out just who this one was that had done such a thing for her. The work of God, the need of your soul, beloved, was more important to Jesus than His own well-being. It was more important to Jesus than His own life. Your need, my need, was that work which gave Him such satisfaction. This same commitment to you and to your salvation was put in place by God the Father. We understand that from those simple yet beautiful words in just the previous chapter of John chapter 3 and verse 16. That indeed God not only loved this world, but He so loved this world. He loved this world in such a way and to such a degree, in such a manner that He gave His only begotten Son so that you and I would not perish, but indeed have everlasting life. Hallelujah for the goodness of our God to us. The work of the gospel was everything to the Lord Jesus Christ. It was the very purpose for which He left glory, was to provide our salvation. And that work must be finished. The work of Christ, the work which God gave Him and, beloved, by the way, gave to us, it must be completed. It must be fulfilled. And Lord Jesus Christ has that on His heart and on His mind as He goes on to deal with His disciples. I have to ask this question. What is our commitment to this work? Huh? What is our commitment to His work? What are we willing? Are you listening? What are we? What are you? What am I willing to sacrifice for the sake of souls? To see the gospel indeed sent to the uttermost parts of the earth. Brother Curtis put these flags up in the auditorium and we hung some others throughout the building this week. Beloved, I came in this auditorium and I looked about and whether it be Canada or Brazil or Japan or any of these other countries, those flags aren't just there for decoration. They're there to put us in mind that they represent nations of this earth. They represent the multitudes that are yet without Christ. They represent that mission. They represent that work, beloved, that God has given to us. That work indeed, it must be completed. I fear that this 21st century, almost said 20th century, I fear that this 21st century Christianity, there's very little commitment to God's work. Sacrifice for the gospel's sake is minimal in these days. Many Many don't want to be even inconvenienced for the very one who laid down his life for us. Huh? You say, preacher, that's kind of harsh. I don't mean to be harsh, but the truth's the truth. Huh? We don't want to be inconvenienced. If there's something better to do, you betcha we'll be doing it. Or what we perceive might be better to do. There are very few that sense the urgency, beloved, of finishing God's work. Many just don't seem to think it's important. Huh? That there's literally millions, even billions, on this earth planet that are perishing without that hope that you and I have within our hearts. We'll begin our Faith Promise Missions Conference this week. And I'm going to meddle for a minute, okay? Well, whether it's okay or not, I guess I will. We begin our Faith Promise Missions Conference this week. And I wonder how many will deem it important to be here. How many will deem it that it's something that God would have them to be involved in. God would want for them. How many today are willing to sacrifice to go on to see the gospel reach to these nations that are here represented? How many of us? Oh yes, I know that the days this week will be busy and you'll have a lot going on, a lot to do. But during this week of conference, it'll be opportunity. It's opportunity to have God speak to our hearts. I don't want to miss that. Missions conference through my Christian life, now 37 years. Missions conference has been something that God has used to do things in my soul through the years. And I don't want you to miss out on it. The Lord Jesus Christ was focusing on doing the will of Him that sent Him and finishing His work. And He died a horrible, sacrificial death to accomplish that work. But our part of that work is not done. Our part of that work still lies before us. And that's what the Lord Jesus is talking about here in verse 35. He says, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, then cometh harvest." He says, "Behold," and the idea is He's saying, "Open your eyes. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields. For they are white already to harvest." Behold the harvest, beloved. And indeed, the harvest, as we read here, is not delayed. It is not something we have to wait for. And in Israel, the normal time from sowing until the day of reaping would be approximately 4 months. From that moment that the farmer would sow his seed, there's a hope that takes residence in his heart. I grew up in the Rocky Hills of Pennsylvania. I should say the first 6-8 years we lived up there. And I told you this before. I remember following my dad as he went down through the field of that beat up old F-20 farm all tractor, and I'd walk behind him in the furrow. I loved to do that for some reason. And when he'd turn his back, I'd wad up a little old dirt ball and try to hit him right in the back of the head. And he'd laugh at me, but I loved doing that. And he'd work that soil and get the planter out and he'd put that soil, those seed to the ground. And there was something about my father's face when he put those tractors up for the day and he'd finished putting his crop to the soil. There was a hope that takes plant, that takes part there. That hope that, yes, I've sowed the crop. And there's a hope of one day of a harvest ahead. But you know what? The Lord Jesus Christ is telling us, don't you say there's yet 4 months to the harvest. He's wanting us to open our eyes right now. He's wanting us to lift up our eyes and behold, the harvest is there before us, ready for the laborers to enter in. Yes, as the Lord Jesus Christ had sown the seed in that one woman, and she'd returned to the city and told others about what God had done for her. And now the Lord Jesus Christ, as He's dealing gently with His disciples concerning the food of His soul, that would satisfy Him through and through. And as He comes to this point and He's looking out over the towards the city, and what's He see? He sees this crowd coming. He sees these folks coming to check Him out. Beloved, has God be pleased to sow that seed of the gospel in you and in me? And He brought that harvest forth. And we go and we share what Jesus Christ did for us. He will, beloved, He will bring a harvest. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, then cometh the harvest. Behold, lift up your eyes and look upon the fields, for they are white, all ready to harvest. The need is for us to enter the field, beloved, to receive the harvest. Receive the harvest for Him. Oh my, what a blessing it is to be in His service. The harvest waits, as we read here. As the people of the city approach, the Lord declares, look, look, here they come. Here's the harvest before us. Beloved, beyond all that, we find that the Lord Jesus Christ talks about the joy of the harvest. Oh yeah, I know. Now, I was talking about how I'd follow my daddy when he was putting the crop in. But I also remember that it'd get around this time of the year and starts getting cold. And he had this old beat up corn picker. It could only pick one row at a time. And it was a mess. And I remember he'd put me up. He'd let me crawl up in the wagon. Behind, I mean, he'd be way up there on the tractor and then the corn picker and then just an old beat up wagon behind it. And I'd sit in there in the wagon, and as the corn cobs would come out of the chute, I'd try to be catching those corn cobs. You know how that was. But there was something, oh my, there was a joy. You see, that hope of the harvest on the day of sowing had been fulfilled on the day of harvesting. There was a joy on my father's face. And can you imagine? Can you imagine what the joy is in our father's face when folks come to know the Lord Jesus Christ? When the harvest is brought in. Oh my, I'm sure it's a satisfaction. Satisfaction in what His Son has done. A satisfaction in what you and I as His laborers continue to see done for His honor and for His glory. There's the joy of the harvest. Verse 36 speaks of the reward for the reapers. It says, and he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit. Unto life eternal. That both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. And Jesus says this to His disciples, and we need to hear it in verse 38. He says, I sent you to reap whereon you bestowed no labor. And other men labored and you entered into their labors. We have the privilege of entering into a harvest. We have the privilege of being used of the Lord. You know, there's a couple of young men saved last night at a youth rally. We praise God for it. Praise God for it. But there was some laboring that's gone on with those young men. They've been sitting in their youth class, and they'd heard preaching and teaching from Brother Curtis. Mom and Dad entering into this. They've been sitting in services here at the church and hearing the gospel preached. They went off last night to the youth rally, and God was pleased to bring the harvest. Hallelujah. Curtis texted me last night, and they came out of the service and telling me that those boys were saved. Hallelujah. Hey, just as you, about that time, I was trying to listen real close. You could almost hear the angels in glory rejoicing over that. And we just have the privilege of entering in and rejoicing with them. And the joy of heaven over the harvest that God would give. The reward, beloved. The reward for the reapers. The reward for the sowers is shared. And it's not a tangible reward. It's not a reward that we're going to take down to Bank of America. But I'm so thankful that it's a reward that we can carry off into eternity.
Amen.
His souls brought to the Savior. Souls saved and having received that gift of eternal life. Beloved, that's reward for me. That's reward for you. That's reward for Metropolitan Baptist Church as we enter in with the Lord Jesus Christ in His finishing of His Father's work and completing His Father's will. And indeed, we realize there's work for all. Work for all. Some to sow, some to harvest. We're so grateful, beloved, that I get to this point and asking myself a very serious question. If I was Lester Roloff or some of these others, I may try to sing it, but I ain't even going to try to go there. But I ask, listen to these words. Please listen. In the song, "Am I a Soldier of the Cross?" Songwriter asked the question. He says, "Am I a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb? And I shall fear to own His cause or blush to speak His name. Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease, while others fought to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas? Are there no foes for me to face? Must I not stem the flood? Is this vile world a friend to grace to help me on to God? Sure, I must fight if I would reign. Increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil, endure the pain, supported by Thy word. Thy saints in all this glorious war shall conquer. Though they die, they see the triumph from afar. By faith, they bring it nigh. When that illustrious day shall rise, and all thy armies shine in robes of victory through the skies, the glory shall be thine." Question, beloved. Are we soldiers of the cross? Are we willing to take up the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ is our satisfaction found in doing His will and finishing His work. I trust that God, the Holy Spirit, indeed would speak to our hearts this morning. Jesus died on that cross. We understand that. He died there to save us from our sin. And so I ask you this morning, do you know Him? Do you know Him? Are you saved? Have you received that eternal life that Jesus forfeited His life to give to you? I plead with you, if you don't have that hope in your heart today, please don't leave this church house until you've called out to Jesus. The promise of the Word of God, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Do you need Jesus this morning? Call Him. Call out to Him. Be merciful to me, a sinner, Lord. Save me. Church, dear church, our Faith Promise Conference begins Wednesday at 7 p.m. right here in this auditorium. Please be praying. Please be praying. Be praying what God might do in our hearts and in our church in these days. Something I've always loved about this church, long before I pastored it, was its heart for mission. Might we not fail at this day to continue the cause of Christ, to hold the banner high for His glory and His honor? Please be in prayer. Let's stand together, beloved. There's a few things that tend to get to me. One of those is young men, women getting saved. Another thing is missions, the cause of Christ. Both those on my heart this morning, and I'm just so excited. It might not look like it, but I sure am excited about Jesus. So thankful for His mercy. He's still a soul-saving God. Father, we bow before You this morning, and we're thankful for Your mercy to us. God, please help us. Please, Lord, continue the cause of Christ right here at Metropolitan Baptist. God, please help us to keep our lamp trimmed for Your glory. Help us, Father, to continue to shine for Jesus. Lord, as this woman, oh my, as she returned to the city, a changed person, might we live in light of the life-changing work of Christ in our hearts. Lord, I pray that there be something about us, each of us, every one of us, something, Father, that the world cannot explain. Lord, there indeed would be that joy of our salvation. And indeed, a word upon our lips that would continually give glory and honor to He that died for us. Oh God, thank You for Jesus today. Thank You, Father, for life in Him. Thank You, Father, for forgiveness. Thank You, Father, for the satisfaction of the great need of our souls. Lord, we love You. We're so grateful, so thankful And I pray that you'd be pleased to work in our hearts right now. Lord, I don't know the hearts of folk here this morning. I don't know that there might be someone here today that's never been saved, never received your Son as their Savior. Lord, today, please deal with their hearts. Might they see that Jesus loves them, cares about them, gave His life for them. Oh, Lord, please, even today, draw savingly, gloriously to Yourself. We ask it, Lord, in Jesus' name and for Jesus' glory. Amen and amen. Musicians are going to play. They're just going to play softly this morning. And I'd urge you, if there's a need on your heart, come take advantage of these altars. Might be God would prompt you to come and just pray for souls today. It may be God prompt you to come and pray for the needs of this community, of this city, of North Texas. Pray that God would be pleased to trim the lampstand of Metropolitan Baptist Church. Please obey Him. Whatever it is that God would have you to do. It may be there's folk here today that have been visiting with us and God's prompting your heart to enter in and be part of what's going on right here at Metropolitan. We long for our church to continue to grow as God would build His church. And so please, you do what God would have you to do. It may be that you need to start with those very simple things. Simple things, even as obedience to Christ in the matter of baptism and church membership. It may be you need to be praying about what God wants you to do in this area of missions. It may be that God would be laying on your heart today. Maybe that person that lives out behind your house, next door, that one that you work with every day, maybe a precious child or a parent, a sibling. Please, beloved, pray. Seek God's face, what He'd have, what He'd want for you and certainly for this church. These altars are open. Please do what God would have you to do. Please be in prayer as these ones are here praying. Thank you, Lord. down. Sit down right here. This is Ethan and John Henson. These are the two young men that were saved last night at the youth rally at Calvary Baptist Church in what town?
Cleburne.
I was thinking Cleburne, but I didn't want to say it. And we're excited about that. Shouldn't we? Yes, amen. And Ethan and John are coming this morning to present themselves for baptism and church membership. And hey, I love it.
Amen.
I love it. Praise God. I've been praying this week.
Amen.
Been a while since anybody is saved. And I'm excited for God doing in these young men's hearts. Amen. Ethan, you received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior.
Yes.
And it's your desire to be baptized and unite with Metropolitan Baptist Church through your testimony of faith and baptism. Is that right?
Yes.
And Ethan, or you're Ethan. This is John. I'll get it right here. John, you received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior.
Yes,
it's your desire to follow the Lord and believers' baptism and unite with this church. Amen. And that's the testimony. Baptism's that testimony to this church and everybody being in attendance that they've received the Lord Jesus Christ and following Him in His death, burial, and resurrection. Well, praise God. Church, all in favor of receiving these two as so stated? Say amen.
Amen.
Pose the same sign. I'll get over it here in a second. Praise God. Well, you sit down here. Miss Veronica is going to get some information from you. And Curtis, it's all yours.
He turns it over and I'm leaking. Gentlemen, y'all come forward and receive the morning's offering. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for this day, Lord. Thank you for everything you've given us, Lord. Thank you for a wonderful service we've had today, Lord. Thank you for the boys who got saved last night, Lord. And Lord, thank you for the opportunity to be able to be instrumental. Lord, please don't let us take that for granted. Help us be aware. There's folks all out there. The fields are truly wider than the harvest. Lord, some will plant, some will reap. Give us the want to either plant or reap. Be willing to do either. Lord, right now, be with this offering about to receive, be with the gift and the giver. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Just a few announcements. This one didn't quite get put in the bulletin, but it was brought to my attention. Ladies, for the recipes, today is the last day if you turn in recipes for recipe book. They are being taken up, processed, and done and over with. So if you have any recipes to be turned in, today is the last day. Ladies' visitation is going to be moved to Tuesday because of the missions conference. So those ladies who normally come on Wednesday to go visiting, they're going to move it up to Tuesday. And, of course, our missions conference is going to start off Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. We've got the schedule right here. It's going to be a combined service. There might have been a little bit of confusion and everything. We're all going to be together, the kids and the youth and everybody in here. Wednesday night, we're going to kick it off then. Next Sunday is a faith promise. Be praying about that, okay? Be praying what the Lord's going to lay on your heart to give. Next Sunday is also going to be a fifth Sunday type setting. So we'll have Sunday school and come in here and have a morning service, and we'll go back to the back and have our dinner, and it says chicken. So don't plan to go out to Colonel Sanders or Popeyes or anywhere else. They won't have any chicken because we'll have it all here. Besides, this is going to be better chicken. The best part about it is it's going to be free. So, can't eat any cheaper than that. Looking forward to seeing y'all then. After that, Calvary Baptist, Brother Shannon Eaton's church, is having their 58th anniversary. They invited whoever would like to come out to celebrate there. That's going to be next Sunday afternoon. The Sunday after that's going to be our fifth Sunday. So we've got a lot going on here. Looking forward to seeing y'all Wednesday. Let's see. I think that's about all the announcements that we need to make right now. So, all yours.
One more announcement. The drama people that are in the cantata need to practice at 4 o'clock today. 4 o'clock drama practice. Let's stand. We'll be dismissed with our chorus, Send the Light.
Send the light.